This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape begins a journey to fight for a future for apes and humans alike. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
It's Freddie Prinze Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff, are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddie?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You are listening to the Dan Patrick Show on Fox Sports Radio.
It's hour two on this Tuesday. I stumbled upon something that I think is worth fighting for. I think go to your local politician, your local congressman, senator, and tell them the conference championship games will be followed by the Super Bowl 2 weeks later, but we don't wait until Super Bowl Sunday. We make it a Super Bowl Saturday night. Then everybody gets that next day to recover, and then we go back to work, and America is productive on that Monday. Who's with me?
Yeah. We must stop this scourge.
I don't know how we pitch this. I'm not sure.
We need like a congressman, or that would that help or hurt?
Maybe I should have given this to Peter King last hour. Oh. Darn it. Well, somebody's going to pick it up and run with it, and that's fine, because this is about the fans.
What if you, at the Super Bowl, announced like a cause? Like everyone's there and say, you have a press release, a press announcement. Mm. I'm going to lead the cause for the Super Bowl Saturday.
Mm.
We'll get the term. We'll trademark it.
Mm. Okay. Listen. Super Bowl Saturday night.
Yeah. Sounds more fun.
Yeah. Yeah.
And how about this? The day after that Super Bowl, Dan, you replay that Super Bowl the next day, cut down with no commercials with a presenting sponsor. For anyone who missed it or wants to replay it, and you have like the NFL Network guys, Peter Schrager and those guys, host a recap, a two-hour recap commercialist Super Bowl.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
Monetize that.
Yeah, whatever. You know, I don't know. Can the NFL monetize the Super Bowl any more than they've monetized it? Would it suffer if they did a Saturday night Super Bowl instead of a Sunday late afternoon, early evening? Yes, Eden?
Well, I think one of the things that you get with the Super Bowl is people who don't really care about football at all will watch the Super Bowl.
True.
I don't know if they'll do that on Saturday versus Sunday.
Oh. I don't know. Saturday night?
Yeah, I don't know a lot of people who couldn't care less about football. Well, I'm going to stay in on Saturday and watch this game I couldn't care less about. But if it's Sunday and you go to the party and everybody, okay, and then we're going home, I don't know. I'm just throwing out ideas.
It feels like you would stay up and enjoy yourself and stay longer if you knew that Sunday was going to be, you know, the safety net to catch you, as opposed to Monday where you're kind of slugging it out with yourself to get to work. Yes, Eden.
Yes, however.
Oh, there's the however.
There is a however.
Okay.
One of the biggest complaints about watching the Super Bowl is what? Having to watch it with people who don't know anything about football.
Okay.
And now your plan is, but they'll stay longer and they'll stay later and they'll enjoy it even more.
Well, I'm trying to sell the NFL first, and then we always adapt after that.
It's more like it's like point counterpoint.
No, I got it.
I'm just trying to be the NFL here and tell you why they might be.
So
hesitant.
You're the commissioner. Oh, I'm helping. So you're the commissioner.
Yeah, no, I see. Okay, I'll write that down. I'm just helping you make your argument stronger by playing this role.
Okay, so you're devil's advocate.
Yes.
Yes. Yes, Paul.
I'm gonna ombuds this for you guys. Mm. I'm gonna split the difference.
Mm-hmm.
I think Seton is right. You may take a few people off the max number of people watching the Super Bowl by putting on Saturday night because you present other entertainment options that aren't there on Sunday. You're also right that a Saturday Super Bowl, everyone's staying for the fourth quarter. I don't have to get to bed. I don't have to go to sleep. If the game's a little slow, no one's bailing.
I would even have a concert on Sunday early afternoon at the Super Bowl site after the Super Bowl. Like you could have Saturday night with Usher, and then Sunday Taylor Swift will play in the afternoon before she goes back to Tokyo. Yes, Eden.
How come there are no other big Saturday night TV events ever?
Because TV on Saturday night is no
a
man's
dead
land.
Zone.
Yes.
Right.
But for the Super Bowl, we're going to change that. We're going to change that. Okay. All right. So not everybody's with me then. Yeah. Devil's advocate.
Sorry.
Okay. Yes, Todd?
It's a much smaller ticket, but on the college level, why does the college football championship have to be Monday night? That kind of stinks.
Yeah. Why not have it on Sunday night?
Or just any kind of big game where you can have a lot of people are off the next day. You could stay up.
Well, why wouldn't they just keep it? I mean, Saturdays.
That's college, right? That's college football.
That's college football day. Why don't they have their championship on Saturday night?
Mm. Well, why have it on Monday?
Because people will actually watch it on Monday.
Why not on Sunday?
Because they can't compete with the NFL.
But you're playing for the national championship.
Right, which probably still isn't as important as...
Like a regular season game?
As a regular season end of the NFL.
Okay, all right, yeah. Okay, Paul? Yeah.
College football would love to do their national title game on Saturday nights, but the NFL has now put their playoff games on Saturday nights, and it would have to be a split. They can't convince at this point not to put playoff football on Saturday nights.
Well, we're workshopping this.
You seem bummed.
Yeah, it sounded good about 15 minutes ago, and all of a sudden, boom, came down, splat. We say good morning if you're watching on Peacock. Thank you for downloading the app. You can actually see my disappointment on my face, not just hear it in my voice. 877-3-NEED-P-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle at dpshow. I corresponded with Bob Uecker last night.
Boss.
Bob just turned 90. And I forgot to reach out to him. I think he turned 90 a couple of days ago. And Bob Uecker, legendary, Milwaukee Brewers announcer, but he was more than that. He would be on The Tonight Show with Johnny Carson. Great, great comedian, great sense of humor, broadcaster, former baseball player, wasn't a good baseball player, but he came up with so many great ways of describing how bad he was at baseball. When somebody said, "Hey, Uke, how do you catch a knuckleball?" He said, "It's easy. You just wait till it stops rolling." Bob Uecker was a catcher for the Cardinals. And I said, "Uke, happy birthday." And he said, "I finally made it to my batting average." And I go, "90?" He goes, "Yes." I said, "But runners in scoring position a little bit higher than that." But he wished me, you know, good luck with everything and said to say hello to everybody on the show. Yes, Paul.
You know, we should do that here. We should mention celebrities in their 90s because it's an accomplishment. The great actor Gene Hackman turned 94 today. He's been retired for a while, but 94. I got Mel Brooks at 97.
Mm.
Clint Eastwood's 93.
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah.
Bill Shatner, 92. Huh, about that?
Yeah, he doesn't seem that old.
No.
No.
He seems like 89, 90 tops.
His hair is like 3 or 4.
Paulie, thanks for the shout out.
Wait, is that William Shatner?
That was terrible? Was that
terrible? Yeah, all right. Hold on. Let's have a build up here. And, Todd does a great William Shatner.
Hey, Paulie, thank you so much for acknowledging my birthday, and I'm in my 90s.
You sound like Dice Clay.
Really?
Yes, you do.
That's terrible.
Yes, you do. That's not one of your best.
Gave it a shot.
But we're going to compare.
Hey, diddle, diddle.
No. Todd Fritz and Doc Rivers. Here is it Doc Rivers or is it Todd?
Listen, I've never done this. I wouldn't wish this on anyone. I can tell you that just from the day and a half. But it's going to be a challenge. It's a challenge that I'm running towards. Got to get organized quickly, you know. Can't try to do too much too soon. We're in the middle of a season, so we got to try to keep our rhythm. There are changes that we have to make. There's no doubt about that.
Okay. Was that Todd Fritz or Doc Rivers?
You're not going to win every game. Just because we got Giannis and Dame doesn't mean we're going to win the championship. It's a process. Be patient, okay? Let's be patient.
All right. With Doc Rivers, you're
talking. We played the champions of the world. We just played the champs on their home court. Can't win every game.
Okay. Why did Doc Rivers take this job if he wouldn't wish this upon anybody? And it's going to be really difficult. And joining them mid-season. He had a good job. He was a broadcaster for the mothership with the games. You don't have a one-loss record there. You know, he's like a martyr here. All right, I'll do it. Who wants the coach of the Bucks? Nah, I will. Yes, Eden.
I like this idea that Doc took the job because he wants to get a ring. He wants a championship, but the expectations are just out of control. I mean, people's expectations for this team are just need to get realistic. But I came here because I want to win a ring. Doc?
Yeah. Hello. 877-3DP-SHOW. Email address dp@danpatrick.com. Twitter handle dp-SHOW. Get some phone calls here. Oh, our good buddy Chase Daniel. Always love when he's breaking down what he sees as a former quarterback. Jamal Crawford, the great scorer, former shooting guard. He'll join us a little bit later on as well. You know, here was something that happened in the win against Baltimore. And I don't know if many people will talk about it, but the Chiefs lost one of their defensive ends. Charles Omenihu, he's out for the Super Bowl, torn ACL. And, you know, when you think of that team, you're not thinking of him, but you lose. Now, I don't know if they can go out and sign a defensive end. Are there free agents out there? Do we know? Did we check with Mike Florio? Yeah, Paulie.
Yeah, Florio got back to us. They could sign someone who's a free agent and is not on any roster. So let's say like there's edge rushers like Robert Quinn or you know, Trey Flowers. If they weren't on a roster the last half of the season anywhere, they could pick them up and add them to the roster, or a practice squad guy.
Hmm. But not a free agent in waiting.
No. So let's say hypothetically. Let's say T.J. Watt, his contract were up with the Steelers at the end of the season. He would not be a free agent yet where he could be picked up on another team.
That'd be pretty cool if you just say, you know what, I'm going to stop in and win a Super Bowl here.
That'd be awesome. Change of role.
Yeah. Yeah. Let's see. Poll question for hour two is what, Seton?
Let me update you hour one, Dan.
Okay.
Which is worse, losing in the conference championship or the Super Bowl? Right now, 56% of the audience say the conference championship. Which is funny because there's another part of the audience was like, this is the dumbest question ever. It's losing in the Super Bowl. I disagree. I very much disagree.
I think the Lions losing in the conference title game would have been worse if they lost in the Super Bowl. Or was
what?
But that it would be worse than if they'd lose in the Super Bowl.
So what happened is worse than if they had gotten to the Super Bowl and lost.
Yeah. For the Lions, I believe that.
Yes.
Because they were up 24-7 at San Francisco.
Well, I think for the Ravens, it's worse too. Didn't even get to the Super Bowl. You lost again.
Yeah, Paulie?
Like a guy like Philip Rivers. It's like comparing Philip Rivers to Dan Marino. Dan Marino got to the Super Bowl and lost it. Philip Rivers never got to one. Mm-hmm. He never even got that two-week stage to himself where it's like all about him and even in a loss. I think I'd take Dan Marino's situation.
Howard in Kansas City. Hi, Howard. What's on your mind today?
Freddie Flowers. If they weren't on the roster.
Hey, Howard.
They could pick them up and add them to the roster.
Howard, call back with your radio down.
Was Howard giving golf instructions?
No. That was us on delay.
That was?
Yeah.
Oh, that was Paul?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
Yeah,
I didn't even recognize his voice.
Yeah, I could hear Trey Flowers. Then he said Trey Flowers.
I thought he said something about a practice putt. And I was like, oh.
Jake in Iowa. Hi, Jake.
Hey, Dan. How's it going?
Good. Unbelievable.
Hey, I just got to get your opinion on, I guess nowadays it's like, it seems every call, every outcome, every flag is just a big conspiracy theory now. And it's just like the NFL is rigged. And I mean, some of these guys are so invested in it that they're wearing tinfoil underwear, let alone tinfoil hats. So I got to get your opinion on it. Like, this wasn't happening like 10 years ago when Tom Brady was in Super Bowls every year, it seemed like. But now, since the Chiefs are in it all the time, it's like, well, the NFL's got to get Patrick in there. And I mean, like, for instance, in the game against Baltimore, people were so crazy about this stuff that I don't remember what the play was, but Lamar took off on a run, and there people were like, look at him, he's slowing down. The NFL's rigged. The NFL told him not to just take off for a touchdown. He got caught on purpose, and I just wanted to get your opinion on it, because it seems like this stuff is
I can't
getting out of
I can't engage in it, Jake. I mean, social media has led to this, but the games aren't rigged. The NFL is not going, how do we get Patrick Mahomes in there? Because if we get him in, then we get Travis Kelce, and then we get Taylor Swift, and then we get monster ratings. They're going to have over 100 million people watching this. Whether it was Baltimore or Kansas City, whether it was Detroit or San Francisco, they're not rigged. And you're really silly, naive, if you think that. And you shouldn't watch if you think it's rigged. It's not. By the way, we heard from the NFL. This is the 58th consecutive year that this has come up, playing the Super Bowl on a Saturday night. We play the overwhelming majority of NFL games on Sunday. Fans are conditioned to watch games on Sundays, which has a much higher percentage of viewers than on a Saturday. The game concludes around 10 Eastern. Okay. Fritzy, what was the question that you asked?
Question I asked was, we were wondering on or off the record if the league has ever had discussions about playing the Super Bowl on Saturday instead of Sunday.
Okay.
Was the exact word.
All right. Yeah. Yeah, Paul?
That felt like a lightly snarky answer. That sounds like an answer I would have written.
Yeah. I think it's not exactly thinly veiled there that for the 58th consecutive year, like we could have done without that. It could have been just, hey, tell Dan, it's not a bad idea, it's been discussed, but he's smarter than that. Like something like that, then I would have been fine. Yes, Heaton.
It's possible that what they're saying was, for at least the 58th straight year, we've been asked this question, and the answer still remains no.
Yeah, yes, that's true.
We should send a phone.
Every year somebody's like, what if we had Monday as a national holiday?
Yeah. Yeah.
Uh-huh.
Who's with me?
Let's go! Grassroots movement!
Consult your local politician.
Guys, I got an idea.
Yeah. Yeah. What do you think? Okay. I'm just trying to help. I'm giving back. The NFL is not thinking about the fan.
No, they don't care.
No.
They don't care about fans.
You know what, Todd? Put this in your calendar. Next year at this time, we're going to ask the NFL and see if we can get, for the 59th consecutive year.
I know this may be the 59th time you've heard this, but I was wondering.
JJ in Illinois. Hi, JJ. What's on your mind?
Dan, how you doing? First of all, shout out to my grandpa in Wisconsin. I know he's listening. Hello, grandpa. I'll call soon. But I just wanted to say something about the Lions game. I've been reading all the articles, watching all the TV shows. I see a lot of over-analysis going on win probability and EPA per dropback and DVOA. I think can be simplified to this. Everything that could have gone wrong for the Lions went wrong in the second half, and it was a very Lions way to lose the game. I don't know. What do you think?
Yeah, I think Dan Campbell was coaching against the image or reputation of Dan Campbell. Not all fourth downs are created equal. Where it is in the game, defense you're going against, everybody healthy on offense. I think there's a lot of things to factor in. But I'm going to tell you what I said in the first hour, and this is a former defensive coordinator who told me this. He thinks in the second half, Detroit, Dan Campbell realized their defense was not going to stop San Francisco. Therefore, he was going to go for it on fourth down. And he went for it a couple of times. All right, we'll take a break. We'll talk to Chase Daniel, the longtime NFL quarterback. Always makes us smarter when he joins us. He'll join us next. More phone calls as well on this Tuesday. We're back after this.
Be sure to catch the live edition of the Dan Patrick Show weekdays at 9 a.m. Eastern, 6 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Pauly Fusco here with Tony Fusco.
Yo.
Of course, you know us as the host of the number one rated show in all of sports talk, the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show.
Yeah.
Now, the suits at Fox Sports Radio gave us this airtime because they wanted us to tell you how great our show is.
Why?
Yeah, instead of us doing that, let's just let our millions of fans do the talking.
Yeah, play the tape.
You don't know crap about sports. I mean, why am I even on this crap?
Whoa. That's the wrong tape.
Wrong tape.
Just forget that. Look, listen to the Pauly and Tony Fusco Show on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
It is getting that time of the year. It's Miller time. You don't need a watch or a clock to tell you. It's Miller time. Weather gets a little bit warmer. All of a sudden, the beer gets a little colder.
It's beer cracking season.
Okay. I don't know if it says that on the calendar. It's a beer that strips away everything you don't need and holds on to what matters the most. It's a light beer that tastes like beer. That's why I reach for a Miller Lite. And it's less filling, only 96 calories. They've been doing this since 1975. They have perfected it. You know, that summer afternoon, we're coming into that time of the year, be like, oh, man.
Crack one?
Yes, or two. Don't look at your watch. Don't look at the clock. Don't look at the calendar. You know. Miller Lite, the great taste, less filling, tastes like Miller time. To get Miller Lite delivered right to your door, visit MillerLite.com/Patrick, or you can pretty much find it anywhere that sells beer. Celebrate responsibly. Miller Brewing Company, Milwaukee, Wisconsin. 96 calories per 12 ounces, fewer calories, fewer carbs than premium regular beer. Miller Lite.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
The utterly inspired all-electric EQE sedan from Mercedes-Benz. Hundreds of customizable comfort settings inside the cabin. The vehicle all-electric. The feeling all-Mercedes. Learn more at MBUSA.com/EQE. By the way, DraftKings has a bet, and you can only place the bet in Arizona and Ontario, Canada. The bet is Taylor Swift wins Song of the Year and Travis Kelce scores a touchdown, plus 230. You can only bet in these two areas, Ontario, Canada, and Arizona. When do they announce Song of the Year? Is that coming up here in the next week? Yes, Marv.
The Grammys are this coming Sunday.
This Sunday. Mm-hmm. Okay. So Taylor would get the Song of the Year, and then Travis Kelce would score a touchdown.
Hopefully.
Yeah. Okay. I wouldn't take that bet. Travis Kelce will probably score a touchdown. I don't think Taylor Swift's going to win Song of the Year. Yes, Paul?
I have the songs if you want them, or you can wait till later.
Yeah, sure. Yeah, we'll get to them. Then we'll get to Chase Daniel.
Anti-hero, Taylor Swift, Jack Antonoff. What Was I Made For, Billie Eilish. Mm-hmm. Dance the Night by Dua Lipa. And Butterfly by Jan Baptiste.
Mm-hmm. It seems like it's Dua Lipa's year.
Well, there's a couple more.
Oh, okay.
Kill
Bill.
It does
feel like that, doesn't it?
Yeah, it does.
It does feel like that.
I don't know if you woke up feeling that way, but I did.
Kind of feels like Dua Lipa's year.
You're changing the odds, Dan.
Yeah, I know.
I got A&W by Lana Del Rey, Vampire, Olivia Rodrigo, Flowers by Miley Cyrus, and Kill Bill by the SZA.
Oh, SZA, Kill SZA. Bill. That was a big one. Okay. That was a big one.
Olivia Rodriguez, that was last year. Billie Eilish, maybe the year before. Maybe it's Dua Lipa.
Break it down.
Do or die? Okay.
Dua, die.
Olivia Rodrigo?
Yeah, she's big.
She's a big one.
Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback. And you'll love the Chase Daniel show on YouTube. He breaks down everything. He knows what he's talking about when it comes to quarterbacks. And he joins us on the program. All right, Chase. Lions, what they did on Sunday. How would you factor in everything with the game, the location, what you normally do, what the Niners were doing? Like, how do you come up with the decision, either you're with Dan Campbell or against him?
Yeah, I mean, look, this is what Dan Campbell has done the entire year long. And so I believe that what he felt was right, he was very excited about it. He was very confident about it. He saw these shots on the sideline. They kept going to him. But my pushback would be, you got to understand that there's moments in certain games. The NFC Championship game on the road, the first fourth down, okay, they kicked it. The second fourth down, he went for it. They didn't get it. You had a chance to go up three scores. And when you have a chance to go up 17 points, you're up 14, on the road in a hostile environment with Brock Purdy not playing well in the first half, and really this third quarter is when he started heating up, you have to take it. The three-score deficit for someone like the other quarterback does something with your mind. You're like, man, okay, I can get two scores. But when you hit that 17-point threshold, in my opinion, that's tough to come back from. The pressure mounts on you. You got to understand where you're playing. So, look, I think he should have kicked both of them. And I know people are like, well, if they would have made it, you know, you wouldn't be saying that, and they would be winning. If he kicks just one of them, they're tied game. They're going to overtime. If he kicks both of them, and this is saying make them, okay, if he kicks both of them, they win the game. And I get it. Badgley, it was a 48-yard field goal. He's 45% in his career at 48 yards and above. I understand that. But he must have really liked the play call or whatever it was. But I played with Dan as a player in 2009, and he coached the tight ends when I was in 2017 back in New Orleans for my second flight there. So I understand his thinking. He's very confident in what he does, and he almost wills it to happen, but it didn't happen for him, and I'm sure he's going to regret that for a long time.
All right, break down Brock Purdy. With the good and the bad with Brock Purdy so far. When does he get, why is he bad? And then why is he all of a sudden really good?
Well, look, the first half was awful. I think he threw for 45 yards or something insane, interception. The interception was really bad, and you got to understand when you're backed up, you can't just throw it. I know it got tipped, but I think it was going to get intercepted regardless. And I think the game plan really changed in the second half. They started spreading everyone out and empty, and he started just finding completions. They got Deebo Samuel involved. And I think that this is the biggest thing that separates Brock from, say, a Jimmy G or other quarterbacks that Kyle Shanahan had in that system is his legs. He ran for 51 yards, right? 4 yards less than what Lamar Jackson ran against the Chiefs. So that's an underwhelming part of his game that people need to understand, that this, when this happens like that, it's huge. When things are covered downfield, if you can just go out of the pocket and move to your right, to your left, up in the pocket, just buy that extra time, it puts a lot of stress on the defense. And look, I've been saying this the whole time, Dan, on my YouTube show, on NFL Network, national TV, like, I don't understand the Brock Purdy slander at all. And that's the biggest issue I have with so-called experts that don't even watch the film. They watch a couple highlights. The dude has been making throws and plays the entire year that I've only seen a handful of quarterbacks make in their entire career. I've been a part of it. I've seen that. The way he layers throws over top of linebackers' heads, underneath the third level and the safeties, is something I really haven't seen in a long time breaking down film. And yeah, he struggled. I get it. But he also, you got to give him the credit, because they were down 17. They scored 27 points in the third and fourth quarter combined to go on and take the lead. So I think this was a good learning lesson for Brock. Look, he's been a starter for 2 years, really half the year last year, mm-hmm. and all the year this year. And he's gotten to back-to-back NFC Championship games. He's got an NFC Championship win under his belt, and he's going against the King and Patrick Mahomes, which I think is going to be a pretty good game, in my opinion.
Well, I'm just trying to understand, are we going to see Brock Purdy, the second half Brock Purdy, in the first half of the Super Bowl? Do they start that way to get him into a comfort level?
Well, I don't think you can start that way against Steve Spagnuolo and these Chiefs, because what these Chiefs are doing on defense right now, it's special, right? Spags is blitzing you from all different areas of the field. He understands he's playing multiple personnel groupings, and that's sort of what Kyle Shanahan does on offense. They like to get in these big personnel groups, and a lot of teams don't match them, so they're able to run the football. I think the biggest thing that the 49ers have to do in the biggest stage – of Brock Purdy's like small career is you got to run the football early and often. You got to get Brock into a rhythm. And if they can do that and Brock can get the feel of the game, I don't think it's going to start coming with him until the third and fourth quarter, meaning like I don't think he's going to start feeling it. I mean, he might start fast, but this is the longest lead up to the biggest game you're ever going to play in your entire life, right? And there's so many other things. Forget about the football side of things for a second. Okay, this when he woke up on Monday, yesterday, he had to figure out what family members are going, what hotel are they going to stay at, where am I going to fly my family from, who in my family is going to get to go. I can only buy 15 tickets. Okay, I got to get the tickets right. I got to understand, hey, do I need to prepare more in the first week or should I just go about my business, not prepare at all? Should I go into, there are so many things other than football that he has to worry about. And my advice to him being a part of it and being a part of with Drew Brees is get all the stuff that doesn't matter out of the way in the first 4 and 5 days and then spend the next 10 days just focusing on football. You got to have a no man. What does that mean? You got to have somebody in your clique,
the bad guy,
in your party, the bad guy, because you don't want to deal with it. I would turn my phone off. I would just say, hey, if you need anything, go through my dad. He can be, he looks like he could be a good no man to me, or his mom, or his friend, or his buddy, or somebody, so he can just focus on the main thing. And that main thing is winning a Super Bowl.
We're talking to Chase Daniel, former NFL quarterback and host of the Chase Daniel Show on YouTube. I'm wondering about the Chiefs, what Baltimore was expecting and what Baltimore saw, because we kept waiting for Lamar to be Lamar. Why wasn't he the MVP version?
Well, I mean, that's the narrative about him, right? He's 2-4 in the playoffs. He's only won 2 playoff games. He's going to end up having 2 MVPs, and that's great and all. And even Lamar said, hey, look, I'm getting old. I need to win a Super Bowl. And that's the thing about me. Like, I do think Lamar, I wouldn't say laid an egg, but I don't think he played up to his standard. Obviously, 3 turnovers on offense. Their whole team had 4 personal foul penalties. But when you actually break it down and you look at Lamar in the throws, he was off kelter, off rhythm the entire day. And that has to do with Steve Spagnuolo's defense. I think that what Steve Spagnuolo did, they confused him. They got into a lot of different personnel groupings. 6, in fact, Steve Spagnuolo did. They were in nickel, they were in base, they were in heavy, they were in 6-4, they were in 4-3. They were in so many different things. And it sort of confused Lamar. And you got to give credit to the secondary as well for the Chiefs. They played excellent. Jerry Snead with a huge punch out of Zay Flowers. And I just think the championship experience of the Chiefs overall team played a factor. I've talked to a lot of people that are, oh, championship experience doesn't matter. Yes, it does. The Chiefs had no turnovers. They didn't have any personal foul penalties. They didn't shoot themselves in the foot like Baltimore did. Yeah. And then you look at the play calling on Baltimore's side, it didn't help out Lamar. They put everything on Lamar. Todd Monken, the OC for the Baltimore Ravens, he only ran the ball 16 times. They were averaging coming into the game running the ball 31 times. Gus Edwards got 3 carries. His first carry went for 15 yards, and he ended up with 20 on 3 carries. And the game never got above 10 points. So I just didn't understand the game plan. I think Lamar didn't play well. I think it was like the perfect storm of, hey, look, the Chiefs went in there, handled business. They had the championship experience. And then you also talk about Lamar and his narrative about him, right? What I said earlier, they built this entire thing around him, and he is yet to break through for a legit legacy-defining win.
Can you teach Patrick Mahomes to somebody else, another quarterback?
Oh, man. I think the biggest thing about Patrick Mahomes that I've noticed this year is he's sort of taken a step back. He's evolved, and he hasn't had to win a lot of games. And I think that's the biggest thing you're seeing here, especially into the playoffs with Andy Reid and Matt Nagy, the OC for the Chiefs. They're calling a really balanced game. Through 3 playoff games, the Chiefs have only thrown the ball 11 more times than they've ran the ball. And I think you got to give credit to Mahomes. I think you got to give credit to that offensive staff. And that's the best thing I've seen about Mahomes. He's not forcing things. He's not taking sacks. He's really done a good job. And he even said it in the press conference when he was praising Steve Spagnuolo. He said, I've had to take a step back and understand how to play the game a little bit different because we have a once in a generation type defense. And so they're winning games because of the defense. But I do think when you look at the playoffs in those three games, they're starting to cook. And that's bad news for San Fran's defense, which has gotten run over the past two playoff games.
Always great stuff. We appreciate your time, Chase, and good luck with the YouTube channel.
Thanks for having me on, guys.
That's Chase Daniel, the Chase Daniel Show on YouTube. Let me get to Andrew in Washington, get some phone calls here. Good morning, Andrew. What's on your mind?
Good morning, Dan and Dennis. Thanks for taking my call. I really, you know, do agree with your Super Bowl Saturday night. I think they could make it a big deal. They could do the red carpet with all the players coming in from each team and look at the fits. They could also do, instead of a concert on Sunday, why don't just keep it going sort of like New Year's Eve, where you do concerts after the event, and they just keep going, keep the people in there, get more concession stands. I know they don't sell beer after a certain point, so they got to watch out for that. But I like Super Bowl Saturday night. On another hand, my question is about Dan Campbell. Dan Campbell seems like an emotional style, hyped up coach. And a lot of times, teams that follow those coaches, they get to their precipice, and then they never recapture that emotional connection. So pretty much, optically, if the Detroit Lions don't make it to the Super Bowl, every season after this with Dan Campbell is not a success. He's had three straight seasons of growth. And then they have Jared Goff's contract coming up. And will they try to reset the contract with a rookie quarterback after him? And will Dan Campbell still be the coach in Detroit after two more seasons? That's my question.
All right. We've seen teams move on from coaches. We've seen Super Bowl winning teams move on from coaches after 2 years. I don't put anything out of the realm of possibility with that. But it, you know, he has a team that plays in his image. You know, like Jim Harbaugh is looking for teams, you know, having that DNA of that Jim had when he played, you know, that they're going to take your heart out. And that's what Dan Campbell has with his team. Will they continue to buy into that? Are they questioning their coach? Everybody else seems to be questioning Dan Campbell. Felt like that was his ultimate way of saying, I believe in you guys. At least if I'm the offense, I take it that way. If I'm the defense, I might go, man, does he think we can stop the Niners? Because once again, I do think that factored in. Detroit was not stopping San Francisco. And I think that there's a uh-oh moment, and I think maybe that factored in. To what degree, I don't know, but that'd be something I'd want to ask Dan Campbell. How concerned were you your defense was not going to stop San Francisco the entire game? And you got to, you know, a lot of times teams will play that prevent offense. Like, we're going to just dink and dunk and run the ball and, you know, not be aggressive. He wanted his team to be aggressive from start to finish. They cost him. We'll take a break. When we come back, we're going to play the Travis Kelce game. Yes. First ever Travis Kelce game. We'll have that next.
Fox Sports Radio has the best sports talk lineup in the nation. Catch all of our shows at foxsportsradio.com. And within the iHeartRadio app, search FSR to listen live.
Well, it's halftime, and the scoreboard's not looking good. You're feeling low. You're not sure you can pull out the win. But that's when you dig deep. Lift your head up. You say to yourself, time to get back in the game. Pull off some bank heists. Take as much of your friend's money as you possibly can.
See, and that's right. The smash hit mobile game Monopoly Go lets you compete with your friends to get the most riches and the biggest empire. It's the Monopoly you love, but on your phone, anytime, with tons of new twists, including leaderboards to compare your progress to your buddies. There's so much to do.
Yeah, you could play countless dynamic Monopoly boards. You can make your friends bankrupt by smashing their landmarks with a wrecking ball. That's new. I don't remember that from the old Monopoly game, but it sounds awesome. And you can charge players rent for your iconic properties. Great.
You can even work with your friends to crack open community chests and in tournaments to get extra rewards and climb the leaderboard. I'm in for sure.
So get out there, put on your game face, download Monopoly Go right now for free at the App Store or Google Play. Let's go.
This episode brought to you by 20th Century Studios' Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Director Wes Ball breathes new life into the epic franchise, set several generations after the last installment, in which apes are the dominant species. As a ruthless king attempts to build his empire at the expense of the remaining human race, a young ape will fight for the future of apes and humans alike and embark on a journey that will redefine the planet. Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes. Enter the kingdom in IMAX on May 10th and in theaters everywhere. Get tickets now.
Sound the trumpets. It's horse racing time, so saddle up for all the action with DK Horse, an official DraftKings affiliate. Right now, new customers who download the DK Horse app get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250. Just deposit $25 or more and complete the playthrough requirement. Wager on your favorite horses, then watch the races live right there on the app. Download the DK Horse app now. New customers get a 100% deposit bonus up to $250 when they opt in with the code DP. Only on the DK Horse app.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus, 21 plus in certain states to open or access an account and a resident of a state where DK Horse is available. Eligibility restrictions apply. Void where prohibited. One per new customer. Match calculated on first deposit up to a maximum of $250. Deposit requires two-time playthrough of settled wagers within 168 hours. Bonus released in $25 increments. Deposit and eligibility restrictions apply. See terms at dkhorse.com.
All right, time to play the Travis Kelce game. Let's go to your host, Paulie Pant.
Thanks, Dan. Marvin, do we have special music for this game?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, all right. Okay. Custom football music for any football game. You can play at home. Okay, Dan, I'm going to put out a hypothetical. Let's say the Chiefs win, Travis Kelce plays well, and the Chiefs win the Super Bowl. Let's assume that.
Okay.
If you're Travis Kelce and you win the Super Bowl, you should do what, dot, 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 going forward? So I was going to limit it to retire or keep playing, but it seems like, to preface this, he's had a lot more opportunities than he did at this time last year.
So I would...
You're going last, unfortunately.
Oh, okay. All right. I was ready with I was buzzing in.
I'm going to start with Marvin. Marvin, what should Travis Kelce do?
He should keep playing and make all his money during the offseason. Do some movies, TV appearances.
Yeah, movies.
Keep it rolling.
Okay.
Fritzy.
Keep playing. Stay relevant. Play as long as you can. Maybe get a few more rings. You got your whole lifetime to do other stuff.
Just a factor in, he's 34 years old. Okay. Travis Kelce is 34. Pro Bowl. He's got 4 All-Pros. He's a sure thing for the Hall of Fame. Okay. He also has 907 catches. Okay. I'm going to go to Sean O'Connor.
Okay. He's got one more year left on his deal. Man, he's rolling right now. He is starting to look... It's not that he's not playing well. He does look like he's slowing down a little, which is amazing considering he's 34.
Yeah.
I think he's got another year left in him, but I bet it's on his mind.
I would walk off into the sunset and... I would retire the same year my brother, a future Hall of Famer, is retiring. And then we both go to Canton on the same day. Mom and Dad and Taylor are there when we go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame. I walk out a winner, and I stay in business with my brother, the number one podcast in America. Although his success, future success, is sort of tied to his relationship with Taylor Swift. Just factoring that in, that without Taylor, probably not the number one podcast in America, but he's going to have broadcasting opportunities there. He's hosted Saturday Night Live. If I won the Super Bowl 34, I could retire with my brother, and we both go into the Pro Football Hall of Fame on the same day. Molly?
Dan, I'm with you on a lot of those. I think the brother Hall of Fame angle is sneaky good. I'm going to say retire. I don't think in recent history a football player has been this marketable and will have this many offers outside the football realm. I mean, this is well beyond football where he is now with his girlfriend, his playing ability.
But how does he cash in on this aside from what he's already doing? He's doing, commercials.
Right. What I'm saying is, imagine if he retires, he doesn't have to worry about training camp or working out or the entire next season. He could focus his entire thing on hosting TV shows, doing more commercials like what the Mannings do. And the fact that, he's never going to pass Gronkowski. It's going to be even, or he'll be second best tight end or third best tight end of all time. It doesn't, if he has, 90 catches next year, people are either Gronk guys, Tony Gonzalez guys, or Kelce guys. Mm. He can't really change that. But I would say that he's got opportunities this offseason like no player in recent history.
Yeah, but it's attached a lot to Taylor Swift.
And they're still together now.
They're in love.
Oh.
I think he even said to her, I love you on the field after the win. Yeah.
Lip reader?
They've gotten to that stage of their relationship. The
Elmer?
Yeah. Yeah.
How long has it been? 3 months?
Do you like me or do you like me?
No, I think they've been dating. Remember I told you that they had been dating a little bit longer than what people thought? Sources close to me tell me. These are the kind of stories that I break. You know, I don't break football stories. It's like Taylor and Travis were going out a little earlier than people first realized. Yes, Paul?
Right. Checking my notes here. I have December 6th as a first public comment on it where she spoke about it.
But yeah,
people
was,
are saying
it was before
it's
that.
More like late October.
Yeah, it could have been in September.
Back to you.
I mean, who knows? I'm just saying. But yeah, if I'm Travis Kelce... It depends on, you know, is he going to do movies? Like, what are you going to do? You're going to host a show on Nickelodeon? I mean, that's not reason enough to retire. I guess the business, I'd love to know the business plan of what he and his brother or just he wants to do. Yes, Todd?
They could do iKelce from the makers of iCarly. Why not? Try your hands at that little kid show. iKelce.
Are you proud of that one?
A little bit.
No, it's terrible.
We were saying Nickelodeon.
The fact that you still watch it.
No, nobody in our audience has ever watched iCarly. I can pretty much...
Yeah, but if you have kids, you end up watching in the background.
Yeah, okay. Yes, Eden.
Yeah, it's unfortunate.
Yeah.
I'll try to clean
this
up.
We were moving, though. I mean, we had momentum. Thought we were moving pretty... Paulie, you want to salvage?
I'll try one more quick game. Who in the room said I love you first to their spouse? Like, time period. Mm. Like, after you met, how many weeks, days, months till you first said it?
Mm.
I think I'm at 5 months would be mine.
What about you, Todd?
I don't remember how long. I'd say probably a few months, and I probably said I love you, and she's like probably said, like, me too.
Okay.
The more romantic one of the two of
them. What about you, Seton?
It's probably somewhere in the, like, 4 to 6 hour range.
Okay.
You're not lying either.
Was that a New Year's Eve?
It was the day before New Year's Eve.
The day before.
Yeah.
All right.
December 30th. Well, technically, by the time that would have happened, it probably would have been, you know, the 31st at some point. Yeah.
Okay. So maybe a day. Marvin, what about you?
Probably about 5 or 6 months in.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think I was relatively quick at the L word. Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know if she was as quick, but I was. You know, hey, I love you. Oh, you do. And? Oh, well, that's nice. No. What about your feelings? Oh, yeah, I love you too. And then I go, oh, that sounded like
not a two.
Yeah, like I gotta do this so we can move on. I love you too.
It's called the returning of the serve.
Yeah,
right back at you.
Yeah.
You don't want that.
Yeah, down the line, winner.
Oh yeah, no, of course.
Yes,
I love you too.
No, I love you too.
Thanks.
Yeah, sorry. 37 years later. Coming up, final hour, more phone calls. We'll talk scoring in the NBA. Why are we getting these astronomical numbers? Jamal Crawford will stop by. Hope you'll join us as well.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
It's Freddie Prinz Jr. and Jeff Dye back in the ring. Wrestling with Freddie makes its triumphant return for an electrifying fourth season. Hey, Jeff. Are you ready to rumble our way into an all-new season of Wrestling with Freddy?
You better believe I have. I've been practicing my body slams, and I'm jacked.
All right, don't go injuring yourself now. We'll be highlighting the best stories and matches of the week in wrestling from AEW, WWE, and have one-on-one talks with the best talents in the world of pro wrestling.
Listen to Wrestling with Freddy on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith, host of the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday at the very least as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and I answer your phone calls and respond to your tweets. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions and straight-shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers, all that and more. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.